shoftim, perikhov pasuk yates. So everybody's heard of this halacha before, that you're not supposed to cut down a fruit tree, but it's really based on a pasuk. Ki satra al ir yamim rabin, lilacham ala letaf sa. When you siege a city for many days in order to wage war against it and to capture it, lo sashchis es eitza, lindoch alav garzan. Do not destroy its trees by bringing an axe against the trees. Ki yumenu sochal. Rather, you should eat from it, but oso lo sichros, and you cannot cut it down. Ki adam eitza sadr levolv mi panecha b'matzor. Now here's the line that everybody questions. Because a man is like the tree of a field that comes in front of you in a siege. And the question is, how exactly do you translate that pasuk? The way I translate it over here for you is that the trees are the trees of a field, a man, that you should make a siege against them as you would to the men themselves. It's sort of like a question. So we're going to have to see what that means. But the whole thing is a really strange thing. Why aren't we allowed to cut down fruit trees? And not only that, the pasuk is clearly talking about war. When you wage war against the city, don't knock down the trees because you're going to need them at a future point. Why does that apply to my backyard? If I have a backyard and I have a fruit tree in my backyard, why am I not allowed to cut down a fruit tree just because during war you weren't allowed to cut down fruit trees? And this is a real halacha. What does that mean exactly? What comes out from over here? Aside from that, one law that everybody knows about that comes from this pasuk is the law of Bal Tashchis. You're not allowed to waste food. You're not allowed to waste things. You're not allowed to bring. It's all from this pasuk. Lo sashchis. You cannot destroy lo sashchis anything really, but es eitza, this specific wood. Where does that lav come from, and what does it mean exactly? What is this referring to over here? So Rashi says the word ki refers to the word dilma, perhaps, and it's sort of like a question. Maybe a tree is like a person who would go into a city when you're sieging it. Maybe you're going to have to starve the tree out in order to save yourself from that tree. Maybe the tree's going to fight back. It's like a question. So it's kia adam eitz hasada. Do you think the trees of the field are like a man? Lavoba menachal b'matzor, that they're going through. And that's how Art School translates the pasuk. That's what Rashi means entirely. That's how I translate it above. That's the first way. But there's problems with that. Simply put, kia adam eitz hasada. Let's say it's a question. How would you translate that question? If you just wanted to say those words, kia adam eitz hasada, as a question, you'd say, is a man like a tree of the field? But the way we're translating it is the tree of the field like a man? That's what we're saying. It's the exact opposite. That's one thing that the Mizrahi has a problem with. The other thing is that it shouldn't be the way that we're learning it is kia adam eitz hasada. It should be Haki Adam Eitz HaSodeh. Or it should be something else in some way. The grammar is a little bit off, the way that the Mizrahi is saying. So he gives another grammatical thing that there's a missing letter here. But regardless, there's something wrong with that pasuk the way that he says it. Targum Yonason and Unkelus both translate the pasuk as if there's a word missing. You're missing the word lo. Because a man isn't, I should say the opposite, because a tree is not like a man. It's not a question, it's a statement. But it's a statement with a missing word. A tree is not like a man, and therefore you're not allowed to fight him. Fight the tree, you can only fight the person itself. That's the way of looking at it according to that. Sefer HaZikaron explains it a little bit, but that's Targum Unkelus and Targum Yonason Menuzio. The Ibn Ezra says it makes no sense to add in a word that's not there. There is no lo in the pasuk. You wouldn't add that in. And he doesn't like Rashi to say that there's a question here because the grammatical errors and things like that, that doesn't make any sense. So instead, he translates it like this. Here's how he says it. Don't destroy these trees because men live off of trees. Kia adam, because a person needs eitz hasodeh. Needs the trees of the field. Not that a man is like the trees of the field, or the trees of the field are like a man, but rather man needs the trees of the field. That's how you should go through. So in order to enter the siege city, don't use fruit trees to make battering rams or to be able to knock yourself inside the city. Don't use those trees. Use something else instead. That's the idea behind it. I think that Rav Hirsch translates the pasuk this way. It's kind of hard to tell. But the idea is, kia adam eitz hasadeh, because a man needs the trees of the field, lavo mipanecha b'metzor, instead of you using it during the siege itself. That's the concept, and that's the idea of what you're supposed to get over here. That's the idea of what we want out of here. The Sforno says you are allowed to cut certain trees, but you only can do it if you're afraid. If you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you, you cannot use the tree to enter inside the city. And any Jew that goes up to a city, there should be no need for you to knock down the walls of the city by using a tree. Sit there, relax, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of everything for you. So the problem usually is, right, the problem usually is when it comes to anything like this, is that you're worried of what's going to happen. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be on my side, maybe he's not. That's the worry that a person's going to have over here. This, here, the Sforno is saying, don't worry. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of you. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be ready with everything that's going to happen. No worries about anything. Don't worry about the trees. I'll take care of it for you. What are you going to say, Joel?
Is this applied in any city? Like, what about, like, Jericho, where you destroyed the whole city because it was full of Bodhisattva?
So it's a great question. If you're, that's not an Ir Nidachas, so to speak. But by an Ir Nidachas, you do knock down all the trees, even the fruit trees. Everything's destroyed. By Jericho, they were told specifically to destroy the city, right? And not necessarily the trees. So they may not have knocked down the trees itself. They just couldn't rebuild the city. Aside from that, normally the fruit trees that we're talking about are outside of the city, not inside the city. They usually didn't grow anything inside the city. It just would be silly. There wasn't enough room for the people, let alone the trees inside. The trees were on the outside. So we're really talking about knocking down the trees on the outside itself. But the line from the Sforno is, no worries. God will take care of it for you. Don't lose your faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's going to take care of everything. That's how the Sforno says it. The Rabbeinu Bachaya says we never destroy anything that might help us in the future. If there's a possibility that we'll need this, then it doesn't make no seichel to be able to try to destroy something. Everything will be taken care of. And really, the Rashbam, the Das Zakenim, the Chizkuni, the Paneach Raza, the Rush, says there are certain trees you can destroy. The trees that the enemy is using to hide in. If you see that the enemies are using those trees against you, for sure you can cut them down. If they're hiding in the branches, cut it down. The only trees that you can't cut down are the trees that are separate, that are around, that you will need in the future. They're saying, don't worry about those, that'll be taken care of. That's the concept that they bring up over here, all the Rishonim say it. And really, Rav Aryeh Kaplan in the Living Torah, you know, the big purple Chumash, the greatest Chumash of all time, Rav Aryeh Kaplan translates it in that way. Lavo b'mipanecha b'matzor means a person should not destroy trees unless they're getting involved with the siege, unless the enemies are getting involved with them. Now the Ramban brings down the Bava, in Bava Kama, Tzadi Alv Mabez, it says, you can cut down fruit trees in order to knock down a siege. If you need to cut down a fruit tree, says the Ramban, you definitely are allowed to do so. Unlike these other Rishonim that seem like you can never do it, just have faith in God and don't worry about anything. The Ramban says, but it's not true. Halachically, you are allowed to do it. The Pasuk is just warning you, cut down the non-fruit-bearing trees first and then cut down the fruit trees. Now, all of that is just to translate the Pasuk. How to understand the words of the Pasuk, how do the Rishonim understand all these psukim? The Rambam, Hilchos Malachim, Perek Vav, Halacha Ches, to Halacha Yud, brings this down la halacha and says, you can never cut down a fruit tree. Nothing to do with war. You can never cut down a fruit tree because the Pasuk points it out over here. Now, it could be this is a machlokas based on what that actual halacha is, but we're not going to go into that right now. I'm not fully understanding this Ksav HaKabbalah, but I'm going to tell you what he says. He says that the word ki can also mean fire and destruction. Now, what does the word ki mean? If I would ask you simply, but what does the word ki mean?
Because,
right? Now, the Gemara says that there are three other things, and Rashi brings it down, three other things that it could mean. It could mean because, it could mean rather, it could mean perhaps, it could mean therefore. Those are the four things that it could mean that it goes into. Says the Ksav HaKabbalah, it really means a fire, a flame, something of destruction. He says, Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh, is that if a person destroys the trees of the field, if he sets fire and gets rid of the trees of the field, he'll regret it in the future. That the word ki is not used as because, it's used as a fire for the trees will be destructive for mankind. Therefore, you shouldn't get involved with that. Okay, but let's get down to the halacha. What's the actual halacha? My parents have a fruit tree in their backyard. What happened? We had next door neighbors who weren't Jewish, and they came up to my parents and they said, hey, we have these seeds for these tiny little apple trees. These little apple trees, the apple trees grow to only like that amount, and they make these tiny little cherry apples. Maybe you've seen these before, but tiny little cherry apples. They never get more than that. My dad's like, are you sure? I don't want to have to do anything. He's like, no, they're the easiest things to take care of. And they get tiny, tiny little apples, and they're good. They're like cherries. You'll love them. Here, I'm going to give you a couple seeds. My dad planted it in the ground, and like Jack and the Beanstalk, this was the wrong seeds. This tree grew. It was like a normal apple tree. It's this massive tree, but it grows tiny crab apples that are the worst, most sour crab apples you've ever had in your life. It is a magnet for raccoons and skunks and squirrels and bugs and all little kids who are like throwing it at each other. It is the worst tree in the world. But now my dad has an issue. He can't get rid of the tree. It's a fruit tree. You can't get rid of fruit trees. Even if it's a garbage fruit tree, even if it was given to you by a stupid neighbor, even if it was something that you look at and you're like, this is the worst. You can't imagine. There's a basketball court right next to it in my parents' backyard. Can you imagine? You're playing in the basketball court, you trip on an apple that just fell. All you want to do is strangle this tree. It's been there, and it went all the way. It's like this ridiculously big tree now. Nothing you can do. So what's the halakha regarding this? Why can't you destroy these trees, and where does that come down over here? So the Rambam, as we sourced above, says you cannot cut down any fruit trees. The Tur does not bring it in the normal place. Where would you think this halakha would be? Not cutting down fruit trees. Where would you put this? If you were the Tur, you have Evan Ezer, Yoredea, Choshen Mishpat, and Orach Chaim. Where would you put this halakha of cutting down fruit trees? What would you think? Think about it, guys. The Mishnah Berurah is all on Orach Chaim. Yoredeya is the stuff you learn for Smicha. Choshen Mishpat is the Dayanus part. You know, when you go to Dayanim or whatever, go into, you know, the Choshen Mishpat stuff. And Evan Ezra is usually womanly issues. So what would you put this? Where would you put this one?
Probably womanly issues.
In the what? Probably not in the womanly issues, I would assume. The most sense would be to put it in Orach Chaim. Somewhere. You just fit it in somewhere and put it in, but it's not. It's in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't even bring it. Shulchan Aruch does not bring down this halacha. It's brought in the Rambam, brought by the Tur, but the Shulchan Aruch does not bring it lehalacha anywhere. None of the places, which is strange. It's obviously a very strange thing. The Taz brings it in Yoredeya, in Kuf Tes Zayin, around things that are dangerous. Things that are dangerous, he says, and you shouldn't cut down a fruit tree. He adds that on. The Taz does that. But the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring it. Only in the commentaries does it start getting brought down. Now, strangely enough, even though it is brought by the Rambam as halacha, and it's straight out in the Gemara, Bava Kama Tzadi Alephim and Alephim Tzadi Alephim Abayis says it's straight out, and it's a lav in the Torah. Do not cut down fruit trees. Sefer HaChassidim. In Sefer HaChassidim, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid wrote a tzava, a will. A lot of those things in that will, you all know. You can't marry two sisters. You heard that one before, right? Two brothers, I'm sorry. Can't marry two sisters. You can't marry two sisters anyway. Two brothers should not marry two sisters. A man should not marry a woman whose name is the same as his mother's. You ever heard that one before? That's that one? Okay, whatever. There's a bunch of them that Rabbi Yehuda calls it. You're not supposed to get a haircut on Rosh Chodesh. You ever heard that one? Right? You shouldn't get a haircut on Rosh Chodesh. It's supposed Rabbi Yehuda calls it. There's a big machlokas whether you should keep those halachos or whether they were only said for his children. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is not a chassid, not in that way, like Chassidus Yidden. Chassidim obviously started 250 to 275 years ago. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid lived 1,000 years ago, lived in the 11th century. We're talking about somebody who is much, much older than all the Chassidim. He was a chassid in the real sense of the term, right? He was an act, they called him Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, but he wrote this tzava and nobody knows what he meant. He wrote in here, don't cut down fruit trees. That's what he wrote. It's in his will. It's number 45. I wrote, don't cut down fruit trees, which is strange. Because number one, it's already brought by the Rambam. Number two, it's already in the Gemara. Number three, it's a pasuk. It's a pasuk, don't cut down fruit trees. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid doesn't add on things that are in the psukim. He doesn't tell you not to do things that are already usher from the Torah. He's telling you things that are added. Things that are chassidish, so to speak. So why in the world would he add this one on and say, don't cut down fruit trees? Why would he add this on? In Rav Ovadia Yosef, in Yabia Omer, he mentioned Chelek Hei Simen Yud Beis Osei, talks a lot, and he says, he thinks, and this is also brought by a couple other Sfarim, etc., that Rabbi Yehuda Chassid is being machmir. That no matter what you do, even if you have heterim, never cut down a fruit tree. Never do it. And we'll explain why in a second. But then in the end, it seems that that's what Rabbi Yehuda Chassid means. Now, I'm going to go, number one, what's going to happen if you don't cut down a fruit tree? Miam Loewe says, if you cut down fruit trees, you will never see a simen bracha in your life. You will always be destroyed by something. You will never have a simen bracha their entire lives. Number one. Number two, it causes the ma'oros to be loken. You know what ma'oros loken means? Do you see the eclipse this past week? The eclipse this past week is Ma'oros Loken. That the sun, the moon, or whatever it is, gets blocked in some way and there's darkness. So the eclipse that we just had for the first time in X amount of years, right, that's Ma'oros Loken. It's supposed to be a bad omen, a bad simen for the world. That bad simen, says Miam Loewe, it's like global ramifications. It comes from somebody cutting down their fruit tree. That's the idea. Now, I know it's a scientific phenomenon, and they have years in which it's supposed to happen, etc. I don't know what this means. I don't have an exact idea what this is talking about, but regardless, he says, that's the idea behind it. Maybe the reason why is because every item in the world has a malach telling it to grow. There's a malach telling every blade of grass to grow. There's a malach telling the tree to grow. When you cut down the tree, you're cutting down the malach. The malach then gets upset, and that's called ma'oros, the lights in the sky, the malachim, are lokin. Maybe that's what the idea is behind it. If a fruit tree is cut down, a sound goes out that can be heard from one end of the world to the other. One end of the world to the other, he says. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer brings that down. You know what else makes a sound that one end of the world to the other? When a person dies. Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer said, there's a sound that goes from one end of the world to the other. So to speak, the tree's death is compared to a human death. Kia Adam eats a sodes, said our pasuk over here. A human death is compared to this fruit tree's death, and therefore you have to be careful. Rabbi Chanina in Bava Kama said, the reason why his son, Shichachas, died is because he cut down a fruit tree. He cut down a fruit tree, therefore he said, my son died. Rabbi Chanina was a great tzaddik. Rabbi Chanina was a top, lower level Tana, like last generation Tana, earliest Amora. That's what Rabbi Chanina was. If Rabbi Chanina cut down a fruit tree, it's because he had a good reason for it. And nonetheless, Shichas, his son, died from it. Nonetheless, he died. That's something you have to be very, very careful for. Even if you have a heter, you got to be very careful about these halachos when it comes to it. Now, the Panim Yafo seems to indicate that because trees came out with bark that didn't taste like the fruit. Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told all trees, I want your bark to taste like the fruit. And that didn't happen by these fruit trees. Because that didn't happen, everything changed. It caused Adam HaRishon to sin, because the Eitz Hadas was the only tree that tasted its bark and the fruit tasted the same. Adam HaRishon sinned because of that, and it brought us to the low level that we are today. And therefore, there's this connection between cutting down fruit trees and our destruction, and our loss of the level that we're on. Somehow there's some type of a connection over here. Now the Rambam says there are times that you can. And again, we just said Rabbi Chanina, not a great idea to do it, but the Rambam says there are times when you can cut down a fruit tree. Here's the example. Number one, if it's damaging other trees or your house, if it's damaging, you know, how roots can get into the foundation of your house and cause things to whatever, if a tree, a fruit tree, is causing that to happen, then it could be that you can uproot the tree completely. Rabbi First always says the first thing you do when you want to cut down a fruit tree in your backyard, first thing you do is you go to the gardener. You can find a gardener and get the guy to come in and say whether this tree is ruining anything. Not if it will ruin, that's not good enough. If it's already ruining something, if the roots are already ruining something, then you could cut down the tree. Then you can go ahead and do it. We'll talk about that in a second, but that's number one. Number two, if it's damaging someone else's field, if the fruit tree is damaging someone else's field, then it may be mutter to be able to. If you have a tree, a fruit tree that's growing, and the tree in your neighbor's backyard is now like moving a little bit to the side, it's not as good of a tree because your tree is knocking out. It could be that it's mutter to do. That takes a posek, but that could be. Number three, if you would make more money from it being cut down. You need the area, for example, or the firewood is worth more than the fruit that's on it. So, for example, my father's backyard tree, if you could sell the wood for firewood, and that would be more, it's definitely more, because we don't sell the crab apples, right, the garbage little apples, then it could be that that would be a heter, and that's a way of getting around it. Number four, if it's not no longer making any fruit. If the fruit are gone and all the fruit are dying, then you would be able to cut it down. You'd be able to take it down. That's the idea. Included in the sister, though, is something different. Breaking vessels for no reason. Like taking a plate and just smashing it on the ground. No reason. Just because. Going out and doing such a thing, that would be something that's going to be also tearing clothing. Destroying buildings for no reason. Closing up streams and destroying food. None of that would be the Deoraisa. The Deoraisa would be cutting down the fruit tree. But all of these things would be included in Baltashlis. Now, I will tell you, as a timeout, we're living in a world of Baltashlis. We're living in an absolute world. Back in the day, people saved the little cans that they put tuna in. You know the whole tshuva from Ramosha about cans and whatever, and like opening it up and that you're making it into a kli? Right, because you're going to use it again. Who in the world has ever used a can of Coke for anything other than the Coke that was drunk from it? Aside from Moshe. Moshe might be a different. Agreed. But I think your butthole died till it's a cola though. Nobody uses it. A tuna fish can? Who in the world uses a tuna fish can? But back then, Tupperware didn't exist. So you went ahead and you used regular cans. I'm not saying the Rav Moshe wouldn't say even nowadays that cans would be mutter to open on Shabbos. That's not what I'm saying. But the concept is we are living in such a Baal Tashlis world, 90% of what's on the table right now is going to be thrown out. 90% of it. 90%. And don't tell me, oh, but we should recycle. Recycling is garbage also. I think we all know that. Recycles are just being put into the main garbage area. We're not, okay, regardless. Regardless of all that, and I'm not getting all political on you, I don't want somebody from the left coming up to me later and be like, you don't understand, you're destroying the world. I might be destroying the world. I recycle in my home. I just honestly believe it does no good. Absolutely no good. I honestly believe I am feeding the beast by going out and doing it, and it's making a bigger hole in the ozone layer, which is making it hotter, which I like, so I'm okay with it. So I'm only recycling because I think it's ruining the ozone layer as much so as me doing anything else. I'm okay with that. That's perfectly fine. But the concept, he says right over here, says the Rambam, that all of these things would be included. They're not d'oraisas, they're d'rabbanans, but they're still there. Check out the Mishnah Melech. There's a chassam sofer that says, Baal Tashlis is d'oraisa. People, you take a cup, you barely used it, and you throw it out, you're over on a d'oraisa, according to the chassam sofer. And if that's not awesome, I don't know what awesome means. Honestly, I have no idea what the definition of awesome is. Taking a cup, drinking a little bit of water on it, you can easily redo it, throwing it out, it's a different world. Totally, totally different world. D'oraisa. That's what he says. Rav Hirsch says it beautifully, because this is a classic Rav Hirsch. It's a warning. Don't misuse the position God gave us in this world. God gave us the world and everything in it. Therefore, because we have the right to use the world, don't waste it. That's what Rav Hirsch says. It's beautiful. That concept right there. Don't misuse the world. You're in charge. Don't misuse it. That's the concept. Tosefes Bracha says it makes sense that it will only be Midu Rabbanan. Why would it only be Midu Rabbanan? We tear Kriya when Chas V'Shalom there's a mace in the family, right? We tear Kriya, either on the left side or the right side, depending on who passes away. We all tear Kriya. If Baal Tashlis is Dil Raisa, why would the Rabbanan make a law and tell people to tear Kriya if it would be against what the Torah says? Do you understand what I'm saying? The Rabbanan wouldn't just tell you. They would just tell you, mourn in a different fashion. But to be over on Baal Tashlis, to tear Kriya, when it's a D'oraisa, that makes no sense. So he said, because of that, it makes the most sense that it's only Midu Rabbanan. That's his argument on the Chassam Sofer from before. What's
so, tearing Kriya at the Kotel is...
Kotel. At the Kotel, yeah.
Is D'rabbanan, so you don't have to do it, or do you have to do it?
100% it's D'rabbanan, but of course you have to do it, yeah. If you're going to the old city, I mean, depending where, it depends on the Shita, but yes, 100% you have to tear Kriya at the Kotel. Yeah, there's no way around that one. Just get another shirt. Well, Baruch Hashem, we're very, very rich. Yeah.
In your parents' case where these apples are worthless, mm-hmm. Why is that even Baal Tashlis? You're not wasting anything. You're like,
so right now, you're right. In my parents' case, the apples are totally worthless, and they're causing damage, so to speak, on the basketball court.
Also,
in theory, we'll get around. So we'll get to that in a second. Yes.
If you're starting to sell it, it's worth more for that purpose. You can cut it down. What if you use it for yourself for a sukkah or something else?
For a mitzvah. Give me a second on that one also. That's going to be mentioned as well. The Chafetz Chaim, when talking about Baal Tashlis, Chafetz Chaim, when the Tsar was taken down, this is before the Bolsheviks took over. So the Chafetz Chaim heard that there was dancing in the streets. People were dancing in the streets. The Tsar was dead. The Tsar was killed. And everybody was like, all dancing. Oh, now finally Russia's going to be a free land. Russia's going to be democracy. That didn't work out so well. But regardless, everybody was dancing in the streets and whatever it is. The Chafetz Chaim immediately told everyone to stop dancing. Stop dancing. Right? So everybody's like, oh, he has a premonition. And it's amazing because the Bolsheviks did come up soon. They said, oh, the Chafetz Chaim had Ruach HaKodesh. What does he know? What does he know that we should stop dancing? Chafetz Chaim said, no. You don't understand. Winter's coming. And whenever the Tsar goes down, before another government comes in, all the prices go up. Nobody's going to be able to afford to buy new shoes, which means your shoes have to last you throughout this entire winter. And if you dance in them, you're going to ruin your shoes. So I don't want anyone dancing or doing anything unnecessary because of Baal Tashlis of your shoes. That's what he told them. Now, I don't know if that's La Halacha or because Imamish saw the Bolshevik Revolution was going to happen right after that and the Jews were going to lose all their rights. I don't know which one it was, but regardless, it was an amazing call of what it means to worry about Baal Tashlis no matter what. Tom Vidas says, this is a crazy story. Now, you're going to either like this story or hate this story. I don't think you're going to love this story. It's a like story. Tom Vidas, this is Rav Sternbach, brings down to the Chazon Ish. Chazon Ish would never take money from anyone. He never took money for free. If he worked for it, he took the money. But he would never take money for free itself. So the Chazon Ish, one time, what would he do? How did the Chazon Ish make money? He was never a Rav, not a Rosh Shiva. How did the Chazon Ish make money?
He walked outside and the gold coin was there.
No. What?
He worked.
No, not a shop. He didn't work either. Himself. He learned all day long, every day. But what did he do? Guys should all know this. He sold his svarim. Sold his svarim. Somebody say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's about time. Good. He sold his svarim. He had tons of svarim, and he sold svarim. So one time a gevir, very wealthy man, decided he's going to pay him double for his sefer. That way, you know, he'll give the Chazon Ish a little bit of extra money for Shabbos, right? He gave it. So he gave it over to the Rebbetzin. When the Chazon Ish got home, the Rebbetzin showed him the money. Chazon Ish said, what did he buy? He said, oh, he bought that sefer. He said, this is double the amount of money. She said, yeah, he wanted to give us a little bit of an extra gift. So it was a bill. Chazon Ish took the extra bill, not all, but the extra bill, and tore it in half in front of her face and said, we don't take money from other people. She understood the lesson. She went over to somewhere else, whatever it was. Chazon Ish then taped up the dollar bill and sent it back to the gevir, right, in order for him not to have wasted the dollar bill. He knew he was doing it for a lesson. And there is such a thing. We see in the Gemara, in Shabbos, Kofei especially, where the Rabbanu wanted to show that they were angry, said everybody learned a lesson, so they would break something that was already broken. They took something that was already broken and smashed it on the ground to show their anger. So Chazon Ish was doing the same, showing his anger, and then didn't want to waste it, so he brought it right back. That's the concept behind from the Chazon Ish. The problem is, does anybody know the Gemara with Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and Rapinchas ben Yair? Rapinchas ben Yair went to go visit Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. As he went to go visit Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi invited him in for a meal. Rapinchas ben Yair said, sure, I'll come by. I'm doing a mitzvah pinyon shvuyim. Now, when I'm on my way back, I'll come and I'll stay by you and I'll eat by you. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was ecstatic. He's like, well, I'm getting Rapinchas ben Yair at my house. So Rapinchas ben Yair said, what's the problem? There are some people who have money, don't want to use it. Some people want to use it, but they don't have the money. You have the money, you want to use it, I'm willing to eat by you. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was so excited. When he came back, Rapinchas ben Yair, after the mitzvah, he came back and he saw these white-legged mules. And he said, there's white-legged mules here. Those are so dangerous. I'm not eating in this house. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi said, I'll sell the mules. He said, no, that's dangerous because other people use them. They're not going to know and they're going to get hurt by them. He said, so I'll kill them. I'll kill them if there's such a damage. Rapinchas ben Yair said, no, that's Baal Tashchis. So wait a second. Is it Baal Tashchis to get rid of something that's damaging? That doesn't make any sense, does it? Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair seemingly told him it's Baltashkas for doing that. That's a kasha. I don't know why that's considered Baltashkas. Another kasha in the Sefer HaChinuch, Mitzvah 529, says the rabbis never, ever broke anything in Shas for no reason. You never see them break anything. There's kashas on that. There's definitely kashas on that. A bunch of people were having a big simcha at a wedding. So one of the rabbanim wanted to cool down the mood and whatever it is, you know, guys were getting drunk and whatever it is. So he took a glass vessel, smashed it on the ground. Why is that allowed? Is that allowed? Is that not considered wasting? Was there no other way to make that impression? I guess that was. It's just strange because seemingly that should be Baal Tashchis. And why didn't the Sefer HaChinuch mention that? It seems to be a little bit strange when it comes to that. All right, anyway, halachically speaking, if you wanted to get rid of a tree in your backyard, go to a gardener, see if it's ruining anything, see if the tree is dying. If either one of those are true, you can get around it, you can go ahead and do it, and then you could be makel. The Mishnah Lamelech says that you can cut off branches if you want. If you leave the tree but cut off branches, you can cut off branches to make it a little bit more manageable. So that would be another thing that you could do. You can cut off the branches. The Aruch HaShulchan says as well, and we do paskin this way, but there are people that are machmer. The Darchei Tshuva in Kuf Tes Zayin, Nun Aleph, and Chesed Lavram in Yoredeya Chelik Simon Beis, both are machmir. You should not do it. The Pardes Yosef says, it seems to be a machlokas between Tosos and Meiri. The Meiri is Mekel, Tosos is machmir. But either way, cutting off branches, some say yes, some say no. If you have this situation, you got to go to your Orthodox Rav. Rabbi First happens to sometimes be Mekel. I think it depends on the situation and the case. But I've heard him be Mekel for some and Machmer for others when it comes to this. Again, the Aruch HaShulchan is Mekel. We usually pass like the Aruch HaShulchan, but the Darchei Tshuva is Machmer. I wouldn't always go against that. Mishnah Lamalach says what you could do is uproot the entire tree and plant it somewhere else. The only thing is, it's got to be able to grow at least as well as it's doing over here. You can't bring it to a place where it's going to die. So you wouldn't be able to take a tree, let's say, from Miami, that's going to grow in Miami, like a palm tree, and plant it in Chicago. That ain't going to work. It's going to get destroyed. It's going to get ruined. Do you remember when they put palm trees all around the North Beach, like right that area where there's the curve, right by Lakeshore Drive? You know how long those palm trees lasted for? A day. They didn't last at all. They were gone within a week. They're all dead. Like, people were like, I don't know. They don't last here. That would be awesome. What's up?
Let's say you're eating parts of palm, which is like from the palm tree to the tree. It's easier cutting down the
So they make hearts of palm in a very different way than what they did back then. So I'm not positive. But remember, not all palm trees are fruit-bearing trees either. They do have certain palm trees that are made specifically for hearts of palm. You should know, by the way, that does change the bracha on hearts of palm. If the hearts of palm, if the tree is made for the hearts of palm, then it's all eights on the hearts of palm. If it's made for everything else on the tree, and you also have the heart of palm, then you can make adam on that tree. So that I'm not leaving that for right now. That's a big machlokas. That's based on the Gemara and Brachos. That's a very, very good question, though. A really good question. Either way, regardless, the Rayim says that, the Smag says it, the Yavitz argues. He says you can't put it in any other place no matter what. That's what he allows you. Tzemach Tzedek gets involved over here. This is the Tzemach Tzedek, the original Tshuva, before the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe, the original Tzemach Tzedek that goes through. The Panim Yafo says it should be mutter to cut down a fruit tree for a mitzvah. If you need it for a sukkah, like you mentioned before, right? If you have something for a mitzvah, right? Or you need it for whatever, for the mizbeach, for wood to burn in the mizbeach, then it should be mutter. It seems clear. Nehemiah, in Perek Ches, they cut down fruit trees to get wood for the mizbeach to burn this stuff. It seems clear that that should be mutter. I don't see why that wouldn't be okay. But again, it has to be used for a mitzvah itself. The Rush says you can do it if you need the area to expand your house. The Rush agrees with that. The Chidah brings that down in his Tshuvas. However, you got to be careful. As we said before, even if you have good reasons, Rabbi Hanina held his son died because he cut down a fruit tree. He probably had a heter. Again, Rabbi Hanina's not doing anything. He probably was trying to expand his house. He might have been only cutting down the branches. We don't know what Rabbi Hanina was doing. But you cannot just cut down fruit trees. This is the problem. That because it's not there and the Rambam doesn't mention any of these heterim, it's hard to be able to get a heter, to be able to go ahead and do this. It's not the best thing to be able to do. Here's what some people say, the Natasorik, and the Chassam Sofer brings it down. Sell it to a goy and let a goy cut it down. That way it's not in your possession and it's not yours. Again, the Munkacher says don't do it. Ravad Yosef says don't do it. But the way to be makel is, again, if you have a reason for cutting it down, then also sell it to a goy and let a goy cut it down. At the end of Rav Ovadia Yosef's tshuva, he has three columns all about this. At the end of his tshuva, he says, I'll tell you, the only time that I would be makel is if you have a small house, you want to expand your house, make it a little bit bigger, so you want to cut down a fruit tree in order to expand your house, I'll allow you to do that. Says Rav Ovadia Yosef, I'll allow you to do that if you sell it to a goy and you have a goy cut down the tree. That's what he says. That's the only way to do it. But Rav Ovadia Yosef himself says, I'm afraid to paskin on this, and he brings down a tshuva that says this. I'm afraid to paskin on this because I was told by my father, I don't think it's Rav Ovadia Yosef's father, I think it was whatever tshuva he was quoting, that if a posik paskins on a shaila of a sakana, then he gets the sakana himself. Said Rav Ovadia Yosef, I don't want the sakana. I don't want the danger of Chas Shalom, one of my children dying from poskening about fruit trees. This is the only thing I'll be making on, I won't be anywhere else. So for my father's tree, there are probably about 7 kulas that you could use to cut down the tree. At least 7 that you could find that you could be able to cut down the tree in some way. It ruined our shed. It's the fruit is disgusting. Nobody wants the tree. You know what? But nonetheless, my father won't cut it down. Why? Because it's a danger. It's a danger. So why get involved with stuff like this? And I'm his kid. I don't want this. This is not my problem. Maybe if I had a fruit tree in my backyard, I don't know. But like if it's in my dad's backyard, no, that's not right. I'm the kid. I don't want that to happen. Right? That's absolutely terrible. So therefore, because of that, we don't do this at all. Apparently, according to the Piskei Tosos, you know what the Piskei Tosos are? This is funny. In the back of every Gemara, you have Piskei Tosos. You've just never seen it before in your life. It's at the back of the Masechta, the very end of the Masechta. There's like a couple pages right afterward, and it says Piskei Tosos. It's a summary of very important Tosfosim throughout the Masechta. And each one of them is like a little summary of what Tosfos says. Sometimes there's an addition that you wouldn't imagine is there. Piskei Tosos Paskins, he brings it down in Psachim Daf Nun, that even if the tree has no fruit, it's a random tree, don't cut it down for no reason. Don't allow it to be cut down for no reason. That's what the Piskei Tosos says. It's brought down in Darkei Tshuva as well, the Minchas Eliezer. This is crazy. Forget about a fruit tree. Don't cut down a tree for no reason. Certainly you can trim bushes. You don't have to let your backyard be like Jumanji. That you don't need. But to do like random like trees that are growing everywhere, why cut them down if you don't need to? Don't cut them down if you don't need to. I had an interesting case. In my backyard, I had the tree of life. 3-pronged tree. So one of the one of the parts of this tree we cut down in order to make our sukkah because one was overhanging our deck, so we cut that down to put the tree. But then we had two trunks. I don't want to take it down, mainly because of the cost. But I don't want to take it down, and I use this as a bit of an excuse. My neighbor built a fence and was worried that our tree, which is overhanging his fence a little bit, was going to knock down. So he said, do you mind if I cut down the tree? I said, sure. Up to you, right? And he said, do you mind if I get, you know, my guy to do it? I'm like, sure. Do whatever you want. This is not my deal. I have nothing to do with it. I'm not going to be charged for it. I don't want to do anything. And that's that. And he cut down the second part. So now I only have one tree of my tree of life. There's only one thing remaining. I'm hoping that another person who lives behind me will take care of that. But regardless, that's the easy way of getting around all this. Okay, there is one exception to this rule. If you knew what this was, I would say you have absolutely succeeded in seminary, and I am so proud of you. You did it. You, Mamish, you made it through the seminary year with your Malachim Beis. You are perfect with your pink Malachim Beis. That's what I bought when I was in yeshiva. I figured if I was going to learn Navi, I might as well learn it out of the pink Nevi'im, because that's what they were made for, right? Nevi'im was made for girls, so I bought all the pink little ones. Those are the best ones, by far the best. Regardless, there's one rule in Tanakh, Malachim Beis, Perek Gimel. Yehoshaphat joins the king of Edom and the son of Ahab, Yehoram, the king of Israel. So it's Yehoram, Yehoshaphat. Yehoram is the king of Israel. Yehoshaphat is the king of Yehuda. And the king of Edom, they all go out together to fight against the king of Ammon. They all go out together. It's a long story how they got there. Yehoshaphat says, we got to speak to a Navi. They find Elisha. Elisha, obviously, the Talmud of Eliyahu HaNavi. They find Elisha. And Elisha says to them, you have to destroy not only the people of the city, but the city itself and the trees and the water surrounding the city. So why are you allowed to do that? We just said when going to war, the Pasuk says when going to war, you can't cut down trees. Here he's telling them, I want you to cut down the trees. What's the difference? So Moshe of Zakenim answers, Moav, lo sidrosh shlomam v'tovasim kol hayamim. Do not go after their good or anything about them. Destroy them completely. Moav, they're not worth having in this world. Get rid of them as much as you can. And therefore, only by Moav can you cut down their fruit trees, not by anybody else. If you're going to fight Moav, and it has to be done through a Navi, then if that happens, then you can cut down the fruit trees. That's the answer that the Moshe of Zakenim says. Mayana Shel Torah says that makes sense, because the Parsha above just said that you have to call out in peace to any city that you're going to try to wage war against. That's in our Parsha, in Parsha Shoftim. Seemingly, this one as well. But that doesn't apply to Moav either. So seemingly, that would apply over here as well. What are you going to say, Monty?
What does it mean when you said destroy the water? Like, polluting?
I would say pollute it and stop it up so that it no longer goes through. It pools up in one area and no longer goes into the city. I think that's what they meant. Ruin the water supply. Okay. That's what he's really telling them. Ruin the water supply. That's that. Evan Ezel says, it depends if you're conquering land for yourself. Then don't destroy the fruit trees because you'll need the fruit trees. You want the land for yourself. If you're just going up against enemies, you can destroy their fruit trees that they don't come to live in that city ever again. If you're not planning on living there, destroy everything. That's what he says, and that might be a psak. I'm not sure if that goes through itself. The Rambam in the Hakdama to Hilchos Zroim, in Parish of Mishnayos on Zroim, says it was a Rosh Shah. Just for that time, there's no other time to be able to go through over here. That's going to be over there. Let's skip down to the very, very end. Chida says, when a nefesh is caught in klipos. You ever heard of klipos before? Tuma, destruction. When a nefesh is there and move, what happens is, after death, it has no rest, says the Chida. It moves around the world like a ghost. Moves around the world from one place to the other, and it's like slingshot from one place to the other. That's what it feels like. He has no rest. He can't go anywhere whatsoever. It tries to stay as far away as it can from mazikin, from what we would call demons in the spiritual world, because now this nefesh is just a spiritual entity. The physical body is gone, and the mazikin can get a hold of it. If this nefesh is not able to go up to Shemayim for whatever reason, it's running away from all the different mazikin. It never has a place to rest. It doesn't have anything to do. In order to rest, it can enter inside a domain, a rock or a piece of ground, a tzomeach, a plant, a chai, which obviously is an animal, or even a person. And that's what we'd call a dibuk. Says the Chida, that's the only way that this nefesh has rest from the mazikin. As soon as it's out of there, for whatever reason, whatever happens to it, once it gets out, the mazikin can go get it again. But while it's in there, it has a rest. It's not good for the soul. The soul itself gets punished for entering inside any of these things because that's not part of the plan. But regardless, it can go ahead and do it. So listen to this line over here. Hashem is telling the Satan, when it wants to wage war against a certain person, a person might be called a city, because you have everything within you, by giving his prosecution, the Satan's going to give his prosecution, and you see the soul enter inside an eight, a piece of wood, or a tree, or something like it, the Satan has said, Satan is told, you cannot cut down the tree to get the soul that is misgalgo within it. The Satan is told, don't cut down that tree. Allow the tree to remain as is. Nothing you can do to itself. Why? Because even if he is a person inside that tree, once he enters the tree, he becomes the tree. Says the Chida, that's our pasuk. Ki sotzer al ir yamim rabin lilacham alel letafsa. When the Satan is going after a human being to capture the human being, lo sashcha sesetza, if the human being enters inside the tree, you cannot destroy the tree, lintochal of garzen, and cut it down to get the person out, so to speak. Ki mimenu sochal. Because this tree is necessary for something else in the world. Oso lo sichros, don't cut it down. Ki ha adam etza sada. When that person turns himself into the Eitz HaSodeh. Amazing Chida. A crazy, crazy line. But if you heard of that concept of Dibukim, however that applies in our world, the concept is learned, says the Chida, from this pasuk. The whole idea comes out from our pasuk right over here, this idea of not cutting down the fruit tree itself. Yalka Ruveni has another line, it's referring to people that are in Gehenim. You can see it yourself over here. And finally, the Mashiloch. Mashiloch says it really refers to a person when he's at war, a Jew. When he's at war. When a Jew is at war, they've got to control themselves. We're talking about the Yafas Torah in next week's Parsha. That's the Yafas Torah. That's something else. It's a hard thing. But people had a Yetzer Hara when they went out to war. A Jew has to control. Has to be in control as much as he can at all times. To be able to hold himself back from anything. That Yishuv Hadas, calmness that he has to have, allows him to be a different person. That's the concept behind it over here. And the whole idea of Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh, this person, should turn into a tree of the field. He should be calm when going out to war. He shouldn't think of such things. When you want to go out there and cut down trees and immediately do a battering ram and get into the city and destroy it right away, it's not what we're all about. Be calm, take a rest, figure it out, and then go in. Then go inside. That's the concept that we're learning from this pasuk. So, okay, what we did was we first translated the words Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. We gave five different explanations for that from the Rishonim themselves. Then we went down to the halacha of not cutting down fruit trees and Baal Tashlis, that concept of Baal Tashlis. We went through the halacha at the end of the day of what happens regarding fruit trees itself. We gave the exception to the rule of Malachim Beis. And finally, the Chidah and the Mashiloch that go into more of the esoteric type of remez type of ideas over here. Shkoyah, guys. Have a great Shabbat.